Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Access. I'm your faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, short show. Jamie has a migraine, so we will be covering just emerging to manifest tonight. So as soon as Karen gets here, we will get rocking and rolling.
What else is going on in the world today? As far as TV goes, that is. Let's see. What else am I watching? Almost finished my rewatch of Charmed. I'm on season 8. And you know, it's funny, actually, after watching the first 7, I forgot how perfect the finale of 7 was to where they could have just ended the show. At least for me, I really like the way they did it. And I would have been, I remember thinking back that I would have been okay had they not continued with season 8. That being said, I don't remember much of season 8. I'm sure as I go, I'll remember some stuff, but whatever. And good answer, so I can stop babbling.
Hi, AJ.
Good evening.
How are you? Hi, everybody out there.
I am good.
Listener land. Yeah, great. So, I'm sorry I'm a minute late, and I realized Jamie's not here.
That's okay. That's all right. I informed our loyal listeners that we have a short show tonight. So
we do.
What would you like to do first? The good show or the show where I want to murder people?
Oh, well, the good one.
All right. So we're going to do emergence first.
Okay. Let's do it. Well, it seems like so long ago that I can't remember like what even happened last week.
Last week,
you can't remember either.
So the special people, I don't know what you want to call them, the AIs, there you go, that's what they call them. The AIs,
yeah.
Their leader, whose name I forgot, she.
Helen.
Episode starts.
Helen?
Hell yeah. Sure, why not? We see this family and the daughter and wife are leaving, and then the husband's greeted by her, and she kills him.
Oh, right.
And I think the reason she's killing them is she wants to harvest those little round
balls, glowing balls, or whatever they are.
Those orange glowing ball thingies. So
out of his head.
I don't know why she wants to do it, but clearly she does, because then later in the episode she kills the guard who's helping them, and that's when Piper, you know, it's funny, this whole time I'm kind of like, why do they care about Piper? What makes this little girl so important? And then we see in the episode she's capable of a lot more than the rest of them, because,
she
bent that metal around her so that she trapped her. Really, I'm sure she'll get out of it. But she had no recourse to defend herself from Piper. So clearly Piper is a different, AI 2.0 or something.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to put it.
And she actually, didn't she at one point, she said, Piper, show me how to do what you do. Like, she wants to be like Piper, but yeah, like she said, she wants to be like Piper, but she isn't able apparently to just steal her powers or duplicate them. Like, there was that bit about show me how to do it or tell me how to do it, and Piper's like, oh no, forget it, you're a jerk, right? And I don't think Piper knows.
I mean,
and it's not related to the glowing orange bead because Piper removed her own orange bead.
True.
Right?
Very true.
So I don't know. It's not important to Piper to be able to live with that thing.
Right.
Yeah,
I think, I mean, it could be something Emily or even Kindred did when they made Emily. Because, you know, they stole
right.
the design.
When they made Piper, yeah.
Clearly something they tweaked when they made Piper, causing her to have these different abilities. So clearly she's, you know, the next gen, I guess, of these AIs. I actually laughed when she met with Joe in her head. And she's like, I want to save Benny. And I actually chuckled. I'm like, you're not saving Benny. He's not ever saving.
Yeah.
Because when he's on your side, he's boring. He's even boring as a villain. Oh, my God.
He's really, really boring. He's really boring. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't.
I'm actually a little upset. Not upset, but I don't like the fact that they got Piper back already. I thought, okay, you know, last week, you know, with her being taken, I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have a couple episodes chasing after them, you know, and it'll be a little different, you know, story going on now. And they got her back already. So I was kind of like, well, now what do they do? You know, I mean, is it just going to be the bad guys trying to get her back? I mean, that's all this is bad. It's been like a game of hot potato. Or
yeah.
capture the flag
yeah.
or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, it did get resolved really quickly. And, like, in the moment, I kind of was like, oh, well, at least this didn't drag on too long. But then, like, they go back to the house, and you're right. It's like, okay, what, like, where does this go from here? Like, how many times is this going to happen,
exactly
right?
Started. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, did you think ahead of time that they were going to get Emily for help?
They were going to get who for help?
Emily.
What? Oh, no, that was kind of like surprising that they bring Emily back to help. And Emily was really, like, creepy and weird the whole time, wasn't she? Like, she was really excited to take that body apart.
Oh, yeah.
I know, but it seemed like a little more than that. It seemed a little morbid, didn't it? Like, she seems a little, I mean, she's really crazy. She's really crazy, and she seemed every bit of it, right, in this episode. You know, in the meantime, wasn't this the episode where, like, she helps Joe, was it last week or this past week, where she helps Joe go inside Piper's, like, head so they could meet up together?
That was
this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when Piper said she wanted to fix Benny, right?
Yeah.
Like, Emily was, yeah. Every time I think that they've, like, Emily can't really, like, go anywhere and that she's a little bit one-note, like, this was a little surprising at the end also. Because, you know, there's that, bit with the car accident at the
Agent
end.
Agent Banks. Oh, no,
with
it was
Agent Banks,
accident.
Yeah.
The car stalled out.
Yeah, the car stalled out, right. The car stalls out.
And
Emily,
like, she's like, let me loose. She's like, this is not good. Let me loose. She's like, it's electronic. I can fix it.
She was right.
Yeah, so
she was right.
Do you think he's dead?
I don't know.
I mean, they shot him three times.
But he had a bulletproof vest on. But he could be dead. They shot him a few times, right? And then she runs right into Helen, right? So I don't know why Helen didn't kidnap Emily sooner, really, if Emily knows more about Piper than anybody else. She couldn't get to Emily in jail. That seems a little far-fetched that she couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Helen's a little.
She got to Kindred in jail. Oh, no, that was Emily accidentally.
Emily got to Kindred in jail.
I'm sure they
could have yeah.
gotten in jail if they wanted to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, but it seems like Emily, like, you know, you think she's done, and now she's, like, sort of a major piece of it again, right? So
yeah, I don't think she's.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think she's always gonna be. I hope they don't do this thing where she's in jail and that we don't need her, and then take her out when we do type of thing. I hope that they either use her or don't. You know, I don't want this to be like an exposition type thing where. Oh, we have this problem. Oh, let's get Emily. Oh, problem solved.
Yeah, that Emily's just like their get-out-of-jail-free genius and fixes everything every time they have a problem. And then, meanwhile, it goes away in between. Yeah. I mean, she was, like, really useful and sort of – the fact that she was sort of, like, on their side a little bit in this episode. And she did have that conversation with Joe where she's like, I realize that Piper's better off with you. And you'd be, like, I don't know. It seemed genuine. But I don't know if it was really genuine, right? Like, Emily was on her, like, apology tour in this episode, but I don't know, you know, there's actually a point where she apologized, I made mistakes, and Joe's like, you didn't make mistakes, you tried to kill Piper. And it was like, oh yeah, but now I realize you're right. Meantime, what do you think about this job? Alex gets a job offer, but he has to move somewhere. He has to move to, like, North Carolina, Virginia, or something, or D.C., and he says he would come home every weekend to see Mia, right? So two problems with that. One, like, we're all rooting for Joe and Alex and, like, for their family to be mended, right? That'd be bad. But two, like, is it a fake? Is it just a ruse to get him away from... Is it because he saw that metal blob and knows what's going on, or is it just to, like, isolate Joe and remove her support system? Or is it just a genuine thing that happens to be happening at the wrong time?
He lost his job because of Kindred, so I could see Helen doing this to get him out of the way by giving him a new job offer. But you know what? At the same time, I really don't see her advantage because she feels that she's superior anyway. I don't think she feels Alex is a threat. If anything,
yeah,
she wanted to tear him down a notch since he double crossed her. Or set her up really, because he never was really on her side. The way the show is written, I could just see it as a good thing being an obstacle at the wrong time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could just see this being a course of life type thing. Just another obstacle they have to overcome as a family, you know, aside from the science fiction part of it.
Yeah.
Which, quite honestly, I feel like, this is only our second episode back. I feel like we've kind of gotten away from the, I know it's a sci-fi show, but the family aspect is really strong also, and I think they need to kind of focus on that a little bit again too, because it feels like it's been all sci-fi these first two episodes back.
Yeah. Well, and like, he does, I mean, so in that sense, it would be good for him to move on with his life, right? Because Alex, like, I mean, as much as we might think they're a cute, great family together, and there surely are shippers out there who want them back together, like, Joe seems really not interested. Like, there have been a couple moments where it seems like, I don't know, I just get the feeling that, like, maybe Alex would be interested and Joe would not be. I don't know.
You know, I felt that way both sides. So there's times I feel like Joe's interested, and then there's times I feel like she's not, and then vice versa. I feel like Alex is interested, you know. So it's kind of like, they're conflicted. There might be a good reason they got divorced. But Joe did seem a little put off when he was talking about the job. You know, she didn't look happy about it. Like,
yeah,
she looked upset that he was going to be leaving. So.
No, I mean, I think for a couple of reasons. First of all, like, he's just not going to be around for Mia as much, so mom wanted the father to be along. But second of all, Joe's, like, always off gallivanting around everywhere, and not gallivanting around, fighting crime or whatever, but,
yeah, I know.
You know,
she's
really
a cop, yeah.
She always has Alex and her father to, like, back her up with picking up,
right,
you know, both Mia and Piper, really. And she's got a lot of, like, I don't know if she could be a chief of police without that support around her, or not the kind of chief of police that, like, runs off on this kind of, like, thing she's doing right now, you know?
Yeah, she's a chief of police. You could always drop them off at the station. Hey, watch my kids.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it maybe is more about, like, not wanting Mia to be away from her father if it can be helped.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a really, I mean, I tend to agree with you. Maybe it is just a straight up job offer happening at the wrong time, and it's part of, like, the good job they're doing with, like, family stuff on the show. I thought it was a good episode. It just, it seems so long ago, and yeah, if there's a flaw, it might be that the Piper thing is, like, resolved a little too quickly, and she's just like, I want to help Benny, I want to change him. I mean, I don't know why she doesn't want to also, if she can help Benny, why can't she help all of the AIs to be less evil, or whatever they are,
I loved her doctor friend there, whose name I'm failing to remember right now. When she was like,
Abby.
You've been driving around with a dead body in your car? Abby, you've been driving around with a dead body in your car?
And isn't Emily like, well, technically it's not a body?
Yeah.
Because it's, so, you know, technically like a type of a robot or whatever. Yeah, so it was all around a pretty, you know, I mean, it's always a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
The
other side of it.
All right, now the other side of the coin. Now the horrible side of the coin.
Well, I think my problem isn't with Manifest as an overall. I actually enjoyed a lot of the episode. I actually enjoyed Michaela a lot. It's just, Jarrett overshadows. Oh my God. He's I thought to myself, I'm like, I really think he needs to go back and watch the finale of season one so he can see what happens, because he seems to, I think he's convinced himself that Zeke, like, just picked up the gun, pointed at Michaela, and went back. Like, he really doesn't even remember the fact they were fighting over the gun. Like, he's like, oh, it wasn't an accident. Everybody knows it was a good caller. Like, dude, you were there. You're the reason. Like, you could have just as easily been the one to pull the trigger if you got in the, you know what I mean? Like,
there's so much wrong with what he's doing. Like, he seems to, I mean, it's so obvious to me, the viewer, that he's jealous. He has been jealous, was jealous this time last year, of Zeke and Michaela's connection, and went crazy against Zeke. Like, okay, so Zeke has a bit of a checkered past, but he's not like a hardened criminal. He's not a murderer. Like, he got addicted to drugs. He did some bad things maybe while he, I can't really remember what he did that was so bad, besides, like, he feels he's partially responsible for his sister's death, and then he ran and was not available for what did he really do that Jarrett is so convinced that he's this horrible criminal, right? Like, they've turned Jarrett into a bad cop. Right? Now he's a bad cop. He used to be a good cop, at least, right? Now he's a bad cop and an annoying person. He was really, I mean, I don't even know how much we can, like, anybody who watches the show can easily see the changes in Jarrett, that I just feel like they're purposely writing him as a much more aggressive and much more disagreeable person. And by the end of it, for him to be, like, going along with this guy, like, this 828 hater in the bar, who's like, those freaks shouldn't be allowed to carry a badge. And he's like, you're right, let me buy you a beer. I'm like, wait, that is not what Jarrett thinks about Michaela, that she's a freak who shouldn't have a badge. Like, he believes in the callings. Like, he did believe in the callings, right?
Yeah.
And know that they solve crimes. And, like since when, like, they just made him so filled with hate all of a sudden. Like, why would Michaela, like, ever get back together? I mean, she won't, right? But he's a very unattractive person right now.
No, she, I mean,
he's the worst part of the show.
He is. And I was so excited when she got up on the stand and she's like, I've already talked to my captain on AI and let them know whatever the hell his last name is. She's like, what Jarrett did, that this is not legit. I was like, holy shit, go with Kayla. I was like,
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was awesome, but surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it felt, and then he has the balls to walk up to her and be like, oh, I see my life isn't the only one you've blown up. And I'm like, dude, you blew up your own life. Michaela did not come back and be like, hey, I was gone for 5 years. Give me a man back. No, she tried to do the right thing and stay away and not, you know, go that down that road, you know. Her feelings are still valid. I get that Jared might have feelings for, you know, she died, you know, as far as seeing her. I get all that. But nobody told you to blow up your world. He's putting it all on Michaela. Like, he played no part in it. Like, she seduced him or something, you know.
Yeah.
Which was completely not it at all. He actually advanced on her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he could easily...
Jared needs to be shot.
Like, he cheats on his wife and then blames the woman that it's her fault for wrecking his marriage when he slept with her. Other people sometimes call in. My friend is here asking, do other people talk or just us two? Just us two, and people listen to us, except when Jamie's here, then the three of us talk. You can see on the website if people are listening, and you can see how many downloads you get after it's over. That's all right. If anybody's wondering how this podcast works, I just explained it to my friend. So where were we with that? About Jared. Yeah, blaming Michaela for everything. And, I mean, the fact that she called internal affairs on him is, like, I mean, it's a little surprising, but that, not that it's surprising, because Jared's out of control now, right? And he did break the law and do some bit. And she can't reason with him anymore. Like, she couldn't, like, it does show that she's fully committed to Zeke. I mean, I thought they were going to kiss this episode, and they didn't. Like, I really thought they were going to kiss near the end of it. Although it looks like that's coming next week. But I think it really shows that she is. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. But for her to throw Jared under the bus. She just told the truth and did what she had to do. But for her to, like, finally be so fed up with Jared that she just can't do anything else about him other than the only thing to do is to basically, like, turn on him. I mean, finally, she sees Jared how we see Jared, right? Like, finally her eyes are open to the total jerk he has become. It was kind of great, wasn't it?
And the only thing is, I'm not sure I got a bad feeling about where they're going to go with Jared now, because that scene in the bar, when he's like, Those guys are clearly haters of Flight 828. And he's like, those drunks are on me. And I'm like, oh boy, there we go.
Everyone's going crazy because Olive's going crazy also. Olive, I get. I mean, I did kind of laugh. So my friend is visiting and she was watching it with me. Never seen the show before, but interestingly, by the end of this episode, she totally understood everything. And she's like, I would watch this show. But Olive, like, we did kind of laugh at this point where Olive is like, not Olive, the blonde girl who drew Olive in, the blonde girl gets up to speak.
Yeah,
I hate that girl. And she says, she goes, my parents don't understand me. Like, my life was horrible. My parents understand me, but now the believers, the miracle saved my life. And we both kind of scoffed. My friend, you know, has a 20-year-old at home, and we laughed like, oh, teenagers, the number one complaint of all teenagers is my parents don't understand me. These people don't seem to really have that big problems. I get it too. I get that she feels left out. And once again this week, her mother and her brother are like, you can't help us. Don't worry about it. It's interesting
that
I mean, the believers are. Go ahead. I mean, you're a teenager.
Grace,
you don't understand him, right?
Grace was kind of condescending. I was like, oh, is there anything I can do to help? No, honey, that's okay. We got it. Like, really?
And Olive has totally helped in the past. Remember, she solved that whole thing with the peacock last year? Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, she's smart. She knows how to use the internet better than any of the rest of them. And she's, yeah. But them to, they are being very dismissive of her. Like, everyone has changed. I think they got new writers that everyone has really changed.
Yeah, I remember.
Now,
last season, we were talking about, I mean, every episode was about how great Olive was and she was the best character.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I, you know, and I don't really have a problem with Olive yet. I get, you know, why she kind of feels like an outsider in her own family now, especially with, you know, with Grace having the, you know, the callings because of the baby. But,
yeah.
Think this
yeah.
Did a lot of that.
I mean,
however, I was happy with Sanvi. You know, I've been saying about her for a while. I'm like, I'd like to learn more about Sanvi. She's kind of like, you know, she's like their medical expert, and you know, and she's like part of the team, but I feel like sometimes she's not. Like the third episode, and she's been going to see the major as her shrink, and then this week we finally start out with a flashback of her on a plane. We find out that she was engaged, you know. So I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah.
We're finally getting backstory for her. I was hoping for more information this episode. We kind of got it with that letter that she was writing to her ex.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, you know, while the major is playing her, she actually gave her some good advice about, you know, writing the letter and sending it to him, you know, for, you know, closure
yeah.
if nothing else. I was like, that's actually good advice. And you know, after Ben goes to her and tells her the truth. I'm going, Ben, don't tell her the truth. Nothing against Sanvi. I understand why they want to keep it a secret. You know? And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, this is going to backfire. And then when she went to see her, she had this look in her eye. And I was like, oh, Sanvi just figured out that her shrink is the mole. I was like, that.
Yeah.
You know, I was glad that they brought her into the fold because I didn't like the way it was going before.
Yeah.
She's not a stupid
well,
person. You know?
I liked how they tried to,
and
trick us, like, they show the video of the lab tech, not the lab tech she fired, but her
yeah.
fellow doctor stealing the vial. And Sami's like, no, it's not him. That was kind of well done. It was time for that to change. I've been really getting, it's been several episodes now watching Sami spill everything to the major. And so I was glad to see it like develop. And they very quickly identified the doctor, you know, as an actual major, the fake doctor. So that was great. I'm glad that went that way. I was a little interested. So there's a point where Sami's talking about like this broken relationship and writing the letter, and she says, "I'm in love," and I think she's in love with Ben. Although the way this episode went, it seems like she's still in love with her ex because she hasn't had closure, and she's still in love with the ex. But I think she's in love with Ben. It's quite obvious, right?
I think her and
Ben
have
a little
together.
I think they do, but
I mean,
he's married
really
to Grace, and he's committed to Grace.
Right, which if he had just not moved back in and let Grace be with Danny, we wouldn't be having this problem right now.
No, but I think he's committed to Grace. He's in love with Grace. He has great chemistry with Sanvi, but I don't think he ever would consider leaving Grace for Sanvi or even think of Sanvi that way, and Sanvi seems to be in love with him. I think he's being a little dumb. Like, I
blind.
Think Ben should see it. And I think, yeah, being a little blind. And I think maybe Grace should be a little more, you know.
Yeah.
Aware of it, but they seem to not be worried about it. I think that could blow up at some point, but I think it's not going to happen right now because we have another relationship that's the focus right now, which is Yeek and the love triangle, the Michaela love triangle. Yeah.
It's not even a love triangle anymore, though. Like, I don't, like, where is
no.
Jared, didn't Jared's wife go to live with her sister or something?
I get, she went
like,
off the show, I guess,
around.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
yeah.
not even around, so yeah, you can't have a, you know, if anything, it's, I don't know what to call it, because Michaela's done with him, she's like, dude, I'm over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So I want to talk about the Believers for a second. We got off Olive, but Olive goes to the Believers
okay.
meeting. And actually, the Believers are bad and dangerous. as we learned last, just because they're a little too culty. Remember how they were always, like, coming around and bothering Cal, like he was some kind of, like, the second coming, and Grace was really nervous about these kooks. But they didn't appear really dangerous. Like, their message was, like, this was a miracle that these people came back to life, and it's a miracle for the whole world, and it's a message for all of us, not just for the 150 people or whatever. And it was a pretty benign message in the meeting this week, I thought. I mean, I'm not getting that big a sense of danger other than, like, Grace is slowly being alienated from her family, and certainly somebody could use that at some point. But I don't know. Do you feel they're sinister right now?
I don't think as a whole they're sinister. I think something sinister is going to happen because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, somebody bad could infiltrate that and get information out of Olive. It'd be much easier she's going
to
confide in that blonde
be,
chick at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
And then did you notice, kind of on the other side of it, on the other side of the coin, the, I don't even know if the group has a name, but the haters. Did you notice the bar that Jerry was in? There was an X on the
dartboard
when they panned around. I'm not really sure what that means. Or is, I'm
I don't either.
Like a bar of haters.
But it's like Hater HQ. It's where they have their hater meetings. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a hater bar. I'm not really sure what that was about either, but I noticed that too. I think he's going to become like a chief hater.
Which won't make sense at all.
It just doesn't make sense. He has seen the callings work. He knows what really happened. I mean, for him just to be like mad at Michaela for rejecting him, which she tried not even to do. I think she would have tried to be with Jared and just help Zeke if Jared hadn't suddenly turned into a jealous asshole, right? Because she didn't really, like, ever, she didn't, wasn't like, Jared, I have to break up with you because I'm attracted to Zeke. That never was it. She just was, like, always trying to help him and get info from him, and Jared got, like, crazier and crazier about it. I don't know, Jared calls it all, right? Still not convinced, like, when Cal keeps saying you're supposed to do something together, he's not supposed to be there, he's supposed to be with you. I'm still not convinced if Cal means he's supposed to be with you for the rest of your life, or he means he's supposed to be with you right now because there's something you guys have to accomplish.
I nothing on this show is ever literal, so...
Right.
I don't think it means... like that. I would love a little bit, just out of curiosity, I would love to see like a flashback episode of Jared and Michaela together, because I think she's been blind to this entire relationship. Like, I don't think this is coming out of nowhere with him. I have a feeling if we see their past relationship, I have a feeling he's the type of guy who pretty much made all her decisions, you know? Going to a restaurant and ordering for her. You know, it's just like, you know, I feel like he's a very controlling person to begin with. And if we see their relationship, we might realize that this is why Michaela didn't know what she wanted to do about the, you know, whether she was going to marry her or not, because maybe Jared isn't this great guy that she had built up in her mind.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
not saying he's an awful person, but.
Yeah. And if we go back. If we go back to the flight, remember that Jared had asked her to marry him and she hadn't said yes yet, and she was thinking about it.
Right.
And remember, like, everybody was saying to her, marry him, he's a great guy, marry him, he's a great guy. And she was, like, on the plane, had just decided to say yes. So if she had reservations about him, what were they about? Like, it's been implied that the reservations are because she killed her best friend in the drunk driving accident and was all torn up, but maybe there was shit about Jared that made her reluctant. Valid reservations about him.
Yeah, because I can't just see him all of a sudden becoming this jealous jerk and just ruining. I mean, I don't know.
And I've never, and neither one of us have ever seen the chemistry between them.
No, none of us have.
When they finally did sleep together, it was kind of like, okay, they just, that happened because they wanted it to, not because it made sense.
Yeah.
So.
So there was a calling this week. Gargoyle lady, yoga lady has a gargoyle following her, right? And by the end of it, so we can fast forward gargoyle lady and the calling and all this. By the end of it, it turns out that gargoyle lady, actually, I had some problems with the whole Ben job thing, largely because Jen is like, Ben is like getting a job as an adjunct professor. And they're making it like it's a big deal. Like, I have friends who are adjunct professors, and it's like a part-time professor with no benefit. Like, adjuncts work really, really hard, get paid really little, and have no, like, tenure or opportunity for advancement. It's like, I wish they would have explained more how, like, Ben is, like having been a tenure-track professor and now having been adjunct is a really big step backwards for him. And it's not like a great job to support his family with. It's going to be really hard. And it all seemed like a little too easy. And you know, and he, by the end of it, it turns out that this guy, like yoga lady is married to one of the professors who is a hater, apparently, or I don't know what he is, but he hired, what does he say? Keep your enemy. He said, keep your enemy close, or I'm going to, like, reel him in and chop him up or something. Or
no, he says it wasn't to keep your enemy close. It was along those lines. So that's essentially what he was saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're definitely haters,
and so the
because the wife says to Grace, she's like, I hope that baby dies.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that.
Hope you lose your baby. Yeah.
She says, I hope you lose that baby, right? And my girlfriend who's visiting me, my friend and I, were both watching the show, and we both said out loud at the TV, oh, my God, that was so mean. I can't believe she said that.
Else, but yeah.
Something a little stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they even had that on the show.
Leading up to the point where we find out she's married to the other professor, my initial instinct was her husband beats her or something. That's why, you know, Grace has to open
that's
her eyes.
I totally thought that also.
And I think that's what they wanted
her
to think. And now, you know, now we realize it's open up their eyes to the, you know, to the fact that it should be haters.
Right.
So I think
it's
going to happen. I think that's going to happen in the coming weeks. Grace is going to be working on her, trying to get her to stop hating. And then she's going to end up. And then when she finally does come around, she's going to be like, I got to tell you something. My husband is setting up for your husband. And it's going to be this big to-do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be the big mystery, I think, of the rest of the season, probably.
Especially since they're going to be major right now.
Yeah. But it seems like they're having a lot of obstacles from, out, like, the major almost... Like, the major is the long simmering mystery of the show, right? Whereas this season, they seem to have a lot of obstacles coming from, like, stuff was getting better for everyone at the end of last season. Danny was kind of out of the picture, and Ben had settled, and Mikhail and Jared looked like they were getting together. And now, like, there's all this danger coming from every direction. It's a little, I don't know, like, I don't really want to, like, it's a show about people that went missing for 5 years and came back to life or whatever, right? So the idea that there are so many, like, haters and that everyone in all of New York City has opinions and, I don't know, sometimes I feel like it's New York. Like, do people eat, like, people in New York are so blasé and do they really, like, even, like, would there be this much? But they did allegedly disappear for 5 years and come back, right? They're like the Oceanic Six times 1 million.
You know what it is?
In terms of, like...
I think, the funny thing is, I think the big problem is having our main focus in New York, because it is such a melting pot. It is, you know, I mean, you know, by size, technically, Manhattan is not at large. You know, I mean, that's the center of it. But it seems to have a very concentrated group right in the heart of the city. You know, you have a concentrated group of haters right here. You have these concentrated group of believers, right? You know, it's like, I think all these, and in reality, if something like this were to happen, it wouldn't be so centralized, you know? But because it's a TV show, I think choosing Manhattan as your central story point for this type of thing was a bad move, because it does seem kind of weird that there's all these different factions in one spot.
Yeah, like if it was in like a small town and wherever, right?
Exactly.
Like if they had, yeah. I mean, it has to be a flight coming from Jamaica and landing to New York, but they could have, yeah, it's a little, sometimes I feel like, but people, so half the people in New York probably wouldn't even know about it. and another third would think it was a hoax, and, you know.
Yeah.
But there does seem to be a lot of, like, danger coming from a lot of directions right now from different places. I mean, that's another thing, that there's so many people who are so organized to try to, like, oppose that. Like, they've only, it's only been, like, what, 6 months since they came? It's 2 months since the show ended last season, or the last fall, right? And it's only, like, I don't know how long that is since they came back, but not, I mean, with Grace being not showing yet, kind of, and the fact that it could be Danny's baby tells us that they're only back, like, less than 5 months, probably, right? 6 months.
Yeah,
tops.
It's like two.
6 months tops. And
like,
so there's
three,
already, like, all these
yeah,
organized, there's so many organized conspiracies against them, right?
Yeah.
Like, the haters are organized, the major, like, yeah, I can see the major. The government has the ability to, like, organize. But whatever. If this show is about, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a thing to nitpick when you're watching a show about people who went through a wormhole or something,
no,
or wherever they went, right?
Right. This is true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was decent. I mean, we have a lot of problems with the show, and we hate the way the characters are changing, some of them. I mean, Grace changed for the better. Other good characters change for the worse.
I don't hate Grace like I used to, but she still has, she has her moments.
She
still
does. She has her moments. Yes.
But
yes.
It's not good, though, when one character is overshadowing your entire show. I mean, Jared
yeah,
is just that vile. Like, I hate Jared more than I hate the major. And I don't even care about the major.
No, they need to tone. They need to take
really
Jared down a notch.
I don't even care about the major, honestly, right now.
Yeah. No, I don't either. And Jared could be handling, he could have handled things so different. He could have, like, said, like, hey, Michaela, like he should have called in some of those, you know how Michaela was always in the right place at the right time to get an honest tip and saw, and raising all the suspicion from our captain. Like, Jared could have worked with her on that. Jared could have called some of them in. Jared could have spread them. Like,
yeah,
there was a way that, like, they could have been good partners. And there was a way that they could have brought the Zeke thing and had them, like, you know, Michaela could have said, like, you need to try again with your wife and not have him be, yeah. I'm not, like, I don't know why they are setting him up to be an antagonist so dramatically. But, like, there could be antagonists who are good and I don't hate, but I really, really don't
right,
like him. I think you're right. The major is a more personable foe.
I mean, she actually,
they really ruined him.
She's helping Sanvi get closure.
Yeah, she is. She is. She actually gave her some good advice. So, yeah, you're right. He overshadows everything. Like, all the parts we might have liked this week are overshadowed by this horrible, hateful character that we just can't handle or deal with. Don't want to see. Don't want to see him anymore on the show. So, anyhow.
Well, that's really all we got this week. So we'll,
no, I watched Doctor Who, but yeah, we had a good Doctor Who, but I'll hold it. Jamie and I can just give it a 5-minute little summary next week before we talk about anything else. And maybe we should talk about The Outsider next week. Do you want to? I mean, have you watched The Outsider yet?
Oh,
I didn't.
I
didn't watch it yet.
Episode 3 yet. I didn't know we were going to cover it.
I didn't either, but is it worthy of a mention at least next week? We'll talk about that.
This, I mean, I already know what's going to happen.
Well, you've read the book, so you know what's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on HBO, so I imagine it has some high production values, and Jason Bateman is in it and directing it, right? Or directing some episodes of it.
Yeah, he directed the first two. And
yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn's in it, and the acting's been really great so far.
Yeah.
It's been enjoyable.
All right, so maybe we'll. I'm going to try to watch it. I have to. Oh, so I am not going to be here next week. I have a last minute trip to West Africa just for 5 days. So I fly out Saturday. I'll be home the following Saturday, but I have to miss next Tuesday's podcast.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I mean, maybe I can do it because 10 o'clock.
Right.
I mean, that'll be 5 or 6 in the morning. Maybe I can. We'll talk about whether or not I can dial in next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I might be able to Skype in if we can slide our schedule back half an hour. Okay.
Could do that too.
All right. And Jamie will be back next week. Hopefully her headache won't last a whole week and she'll be fine.
Yeah, hopefully.
So,
hopefully
okay.
That was
yep. Yeah. All right. Then we're calling it quits. And after 45 minutes, this is a record. This is the shortest Phantom Access ever. Except for episodes where we only cover one show. So.
There you go. All right.
Yep. So, great. All right.
Talk to you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Good night.
Have a good night.